Your kids love knock knock jokes.
They do.
Why don't you tell me one?
I'm not the knock knock expert.
Do it.
Knock knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Thanks for wasting everybody's time, Adam.
Yeah, you got to at least finish it off. You went that far.
I think we know where this one's going.
What do you mean?
Yeah, you really telegraphed this one.
Okay, you go.
Let's do the show.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 57 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I am Alan, as always, in freezing cold tubing in Germany, and with me is
Adam in beautiful, kind of rainy Vancouver.
I was going to say balmy.
Yeah.
Wow. It's not minus 15 there?
No, it's 8. I believe it's 8.
Ah. It warmed up to minus 8 yesterday to snow, and then it right back down.
Nice.
Yay.
How's your snowshoeing?
I bought boots. I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm good. That's it. What'd you shoot this week?
Good question. I shot some moody pictures for the photo challenge. I shot some self-portraits because it was a nice sunset down in Steveston where I live, and mm-hmm. nobody was willing to go with me. And I prefer to shoot people instead of just scenery. So I took a couple of scenery shots and then said, no, it needs to have somebody in it. So seeing as I was the only one there that I knew, I jumped into the pictures myself. And outside of me being in them, I like how they turned out.
And luckily, you forgot to bring your shirt and had a big bucket of Crisco.
Yeah.
So.
And there's a couple of action shots, a couple of poses and stuff. But no, I think for the most part, the pictures are good. It's not something, I'm not going to put up pictures of myself in my own house unless I was with my children or my wife, so.
Right, that makes sense.
It was photographic experimentation is what I called it. My wife got a good chuckle out of some of the pictures, so.
I don't have any pictures of myself without my daughter in them.
No?
Or my wife, so that's a good point.
Yeah.
But that would be awesome to do if you're going to have a party and have a bunch of people over the day before, just go get a whole bunch of really questionable prints done. Just like the whole house is just you.
Well, actually, what I said, I got home and then I basically, I put up a bunch of pictures on the computer upstairs in our room. And when Lisa came up to bed, I said, well, it's an early Valentine's Day for you. And she's like, yeah, I was hoping for jewelry.
Really?
No, she didn't say that.
Wow. Okay.
That's it. That's all I shot. I really didn't take many pictures. I've taken a little bit of video. I'm trying to use my new lens and new camera, and I've been experimenting a little bit more with video. So I didn't shoot that many pictures, but I did take a little bit of video. Still in the experimentation phase of that, though.
Nice. Yeah, no, that's good quality stuff. So you know what? We'll have an episode dedicated to that, how to shoot video.
Because I have lots of questions, so I will save them for that episode.
Fantastic.
And until then, all my videos will suck until we get to that episode.
Hey, that's how it goes. That's life.
That's how you learn.
That's the French have a saying, that's life.
You just said that.
Huh?
But then you said the French have a saying, but you said that's life, and then you said the French have a saying, that's life.
I think you said you had an echo on your Skype earlier. I think that's the culprit right there.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So what did you shoot?
Yeah, I shot nothing.
That nothing?
I shot a moody pic. I shot the challenge pic coming up.
Okay.
But yeah, cold weather. Once again, awesome, interesting stories of me editing. So, you know, I'll skip those.
Yeah.
So I've been dedicated to that, but that's why. And I bet you I've shot 10 photos this week.
That's not a lot.
That's including the snapshots of my kid eating again, just to add to the stack of pictures I have of my kid eating.
Right. What's she eating now?
I don't know.
Okay. You don't feed her, do you? Yeah, you're not the mom. You don't feed her.
I don't do the prep, though. to be fair, my wife does a lot of the prep ahead of time, and like she eats broccoli and that. I can't believe I'm even answering this question.
Okay, let's move on to the photo
challenge.
The listeners
all just took a hammer and smashed their iPod or listening device.
How about photo challenge?
I have a couple listener questions to get to.
I was just trying to move it along.
Yeah, well, that's great. You move it along by asking what my daughter eats. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, I thought you were going to say Rice Puffs, the end.
Oh, I don't know. All right, we got an email from Tim. This one's actually from a couple weeks ago, but I didn't answer it on the show yet.
Okay.
Hello, guys. Love the show very much. Adam's kind of a grouch, but Alan is awesome.
Can I just say something before you finish this question?
Yeah, of course.
When I was in elementary school, mm-hmm. I used to tell people my middle name was Tim. I don't have a middle name, but I just thought it sounded like a cool middle name that nobody could make fun of.
Tim.
Yeah, so there you go.
There you go, Tim. All right. You don't have a middle name?
No.
Have we talked about this on the air before?
I don't think so.
No. Adam Carolla doesn't have a middle name.
We're both named Adam.
And so that's a good point. And after a while, he got mad about it. And apparently, on his driver's license, he put Lakers. Just to see who would pay attention. And no one caught it. And now on his actual driver's license, it says Adam Lakers Carolla.
Mine doesn't say Tim, but I should get it changed.
You should do something. You should put something. Just next time, fill it out. Who would know?
And the thing is anybody really named Tim, or is it Timothy and it's just shortened? I was just flat out Tim.
Oh, your fake name was just Tim?
Yeah, it was just Tim. My middle fake name was just Tim.
Okay, well, great. Well, the actual Tim asks, the megapixel war seems to have come to a stop, thankfully. Well, this was before yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
And has been replaced with an ISO war. With some of the new DSLRs, they are quoting some amazingly high ISOs. How do they calculate the highest ISO it can produce? So there you go. I don't know. Do you know?
I have no idea. The last bit that you were just saying sounded like complete gibberish to me.
Right. Well, this came out after the D4, the Nikon D4 was released or announced.
I didn't realize it. I knew it was coming, but I didn't know it was yesterday. Is that what
happened? No, the D4 was a couple weeks ago.
Oh, but the D800 is the new one?
The D800 is the one a couple days ago.
Okay.
And so when the D4 was announced, it's their Nikon's flagship camera.
Right.
Essentially. And they're advertising ISOs of like 200 and something thousand.
Okay.
Thousand.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's a lot. It's a big number.
Yeah. So, you know, what do you shoot at max? 1600?
Yeah. I find at the new camera that I got, the T2i, I think it does 6400, but even 3200 doesn't look good to me. So 1600 right. is high as I go.
Right. And so, but these ones are announcing really high. And so essentially what's happening, this isn't your father's ISO. This isn't like you're making the film different. It's essentially digital gain or boost.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're taking as if you had a really low, a really badly recorded audio file or CD or something, and are just turning it up really loud on your stereo.
Right.
Have you ever had to do something like that where you have a really low signal and just turn it up on the stereo? It doesn't sound great.
I don't imagine so.
Yeah. So what's happening now with the technology is that they're getting good at turning it up loud. They're getting good at turning the gain on the image, cranking it up, and still getting a good image out of it. And so what they're doing is basically going higher and higher, and calling that the max.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So I don't know that they actually have an actual standard. I think they're just saying, well, that looks good enough. We'll call it that.
Yeah.
And so it's all a matter of what you find to be acceptable. What looks okay to you, that's as high as it goes.
But it's kind of like it seems a little bit overkill, does it not?
It is overkill, I think. It's also something that you can achieve. Like your camera goes to, like you said, to 6400. Well, you could essentially get, I have to do some quick math, you could get like 50,000 or something out of your camera.
I don't understand. You're going to have to explain that.
If you were to shoot a picture at 6400,
right,
and bring it into aperture and crank up the gain by three stops,
right,
just crank up the digital gain, that essentially three stops would make it 12,800, 25,6, 52, whatever. You do the math. It's 6 a.m. over here.
No, I see what you're saying.
And so all of a sudden you've got an ISO of 50,000 because you cranked it up in aperture.
Right.
And it's going to look terrible.
Yeah, I don't do that.
The noise is going to look awful. And what they've done is they figured out a way to make the noise look acceptable. But you're right. For me, I mean, the ISO 200,000 isn't really a selling point.
Right.
And then yesterday they announced the D800, which is a 32 megapixel camera. That's a lot of megapixels.
That is.
Yeah.
Massive files.
Yeah. Huge files. Still the same sensor size. It's still a regular full frame, not a medium format.
Right.
So I don't know. I think a lot of people are excited. I think some people are skeptical. I did see the video. I saw a video that was made that, of course, made under controlled conditions. The video looks pretty awesome. And they seem to have gotten rid of something called rolling shutter.
Right.
I remember. Not rid of, or maybe minimized it. But hopefully that's the case. And hopefully Canon's not too far behind.
What's the asking price on the new D800?
It retails for $3,000.
Okay.
So kind of that's right in the ballpark, actually. That's probably what the D700, that the camera that it replaces, was around the same when it was announced. And the Canon 5D, which is the equivalent on the Canon side, was about $3,000 when it was announced, and goes for, I don't know, it depends where you are, but around $2,400.
Okay.
So that's right in the wheelhouse. Yeah. So there you go. That's what's high ISO.
Great.
And we have another listener question.
Oh, I can't wait.
That's a big day.
Yeah, big. Two questions on one show.
Yeah. Brian from Great Falls, Montana, who I asked if I thought that was the American Pie town.
Is it?
No. He said no.
Okay. He would know.
Well, he knew because, yeah, it's Great Falls, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Is where.
It's another Great Falls.
That was his question. Hey, hosers, do you know where Great Falls is?
The answer is no.
Yeah. P.S. I emailed the wrong guy. Sorry. No, his question is, he classifies himself as an experienced amateur.
Why is Adam so much better than Alan on the photo challenges?
I currently shoot with a Canon XSI. And my main lens is an EFS 70-300.
Okay.
F4-5.6.
Okay.
So he's considering an upgrade.
Yep.
I really want the EF 70-200 F2.8.
Which is a big price tag, yeah.
Yep. He's saying around $2,200 in the States.
That's the IS one, right?
Yep. When considering that in regards to upgrading bodies, I get the feeling you would tell me to stick with the crop sensor because you don't need a full frame. Well, we talked about that last week. I do feel that way.
Okay.
Also, I don't care about video, and megapixels aren't that big of a deal either, since any DSLR has adequate megapixels. I agree with that statement as well.
Yep.
I was considering the 7D or maybe the 5D, but also the 60D. What do you recommend? He doesn't make a living out of this, but he would like to improve the sharpness of his photos and available light shooting.
Okay.
So,
what was your answer?
Well, what do you think first? Like, would you suggest buying a new lens or a new camera?
New lens for sure. The new the camera seems completely adequate.
That's exactly right.
For what he wants, right?
Yeah, I've shot with the XS, and my dad has the XSI. I've shot around with it. It's great, great camera.
And if my XS didn't hit pay dirt via my wife, I would probably still continue to shoot with it because I did like it.
Oh, if it wasn't cementified, you'd have been, you'd be laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
It probably wasn't the dropping that caused the problem. It was the sudden stop at the end.
Oh,
yeah. So.
So the lens, definitely spend the money on the lens.
Yes, but I can't say I would spend the money on the 70-200.
No, no, I don't think that's necessarily the right lens to buy. That's too much to pay for that lens. Unless, like you say, you're shooting, we talked about on the show, shooting in hockey rinks, right? Mm-hmm. If you're shooting low light and fast action, then you might need that kind of lens. But if you're not, then I think you can get better money for better value out of your money.
This is when I was deciding to buy which 70-200 I wanted.
Right.
Because they essentially make four combinations of it in Canon.
Yeah.
And so I think we talked about it on the show, so I'll try to motorboat through this anyway, because he's not going to go back and listen. He might. I decided to buy the cheap version, the 70-200. Well, sorry, the inexpensive version. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
The 70-200 f/4 no IS. It was about $600.
Yeah, I've seen it recently for about $600. If you get it on the cheap end of it, it's $600.
Nice. Okay, so at the time, that's what it was, and I my rationale was, first of all, it's much lighter to carry around.
Yeah.
That's the 2.8 IS is a tank. So if you want to carry that around all day, be my guest. I did not, so I wanted to get that. I figured a lot of my stuff was going to come outside. So low light, the f/2.8 at 200 millimeters, your depth of field is non-existent anyways.
Right.
You do get something. You do get good pictures, but it's hard to shoot. So I figured I would be shooting at, f/4. The extra stop didn't mean that much to me.
Right.
The extra stop wasn't worth $1,200. That's basically what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And then did I want the IS or not? I kind of did want the IS, and looking back, I may have bought it with the IS. But that was another $600 or $700.
Right.
I think it was around, $1,200 bucks.
That's about what it is now. It's about double the one that you bought. Yeah.
So was that worth it to me? I don't know. I don't really think so. I don't miss it that much. So in the end, I saved around $1,800, and I love that lens. The pictures I get with that lens are out of this world.
Okay.
The other thing I would think about real quickly, though, is pick up the 85mm f/1.8. That is, what a great lens that is.
And your dad has that one.
My dad has that one. I was fortunate enough to borrow it for about 4 or 5 months. He left it here in Germany when he was here, and I brought it back. So I got a good 4 or 5 months run out of it, and it is fantastic.
And what about the fact that, on a crop sensor in the 85 millimeters, you're not using that for in and around your house.
You're not going to use that in your house, no, but outside stuff, it's for portraits, like shooting people pictures, it is amazing.
And that's really what it's for, right?
Yep, that's about the focal length where you'd like to shoot portraits with, and it's because it opens up to 1.8. I mean, it's great in low light if you need it.
Yeah,
I mean, it is really great in low light versus the f/2.8.
Right.
It's not an L lens, so it's very affordable. I think it's around $550.
It's about $600. I looked at it when I was doing all my lens. Hunting, it's about $600 in Canada. I don't know what it is in the U.S. Slightly cheaper. I think I saw it on B&H for $560, $570, something in that range.
Right.
Yeah.
So were it me, I would not buy the 70-200. I would buy the 85mm, and that's going to cover a lot of range. It's going to, on a crop sensor, that's going to be really good for what you want. And then if you ever find yourself in a position where, like you said, you're in a hockey rink or a gymnasium or something where you need it for one night, go ahead and rent that lens.
Right.
I don't know what they rent for in the States, but there's in Canada, they rent for about $35 for the day. So if you're only going to use it a couple of times a year, I think it makes a lot of sense to rent that. So there you go. Keep the XSI, buy the 85, think about the 70-200 f/4.
Oh, if you want an update, just because I just punched it in just to see if I was accurate, and I am way off. In B&H, it's actually selling that exact lens is selling for $389 American.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
A bargain.
Why don't we get a couple?
They're giving them away. Maybe Canon should just send us a few.
Yeah, we should. I'm thinking of ordering one now.
I'm going to get three.
I love it that much. When I had it, my dad's, it was on my camera all the time.
I'm pretty astonished that it's actually that cheap.
Yeah,
it's quite a bit more in Canada at the camera stores. I'll tell you that.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go. I would do that. So let's see, 600 for the other one, 389, under $1,000. You get two great lenses, and you get an extra $1,200 kicking around.
Yeah, go to the casino.
Double it. That's how you do it. You can find some slot machines there.
For sure.
Great. All right, this week's topic.
What is it?
Moody.
Is that the topic?
No. Challenge photos.
Okay, the challenge photos. Yeah, don't get off topic here. We're challenge photos.
Yeah, we didn't make a topic out of Moody.
Yeah.
My daughter being Moody.
Yeah, let's do your picture first.
Okay, I wasn't even paying attention.
Well, you're going to pay attention now.
Yeah, no, I got it. Okay, let's do mine. First of all, explain the challenge. Well, it's your idea.
I think I explained it a little bit last week, but for anybody who didn't listen last week, I was in a hockey arena with my kids and wife last week, and I took a few pictures using flash inside the arena, and it was off-camera flash, and my wife was the flash holder. And the pictures, like I had seen an ad that were of a hockey player taken in and with this lighting that made it look very moody, or what I thought looked moody. And I was trying to recreate that in the hockey rink, and my brother-in-law happened to be standing and watching, and so I basically took some pictures, and I sent them to you, and your immediate comment was, wow, those pictures are, I don't know, you said very, looked very moody, and I was happy because that's exactly kind of what I was going for, and really inspired by this poster of Kevin Bieksa in the Vancouver Canucks that I'd seen around town. So
I was struck by the fact that you, at family night at the hockey game,
yeah,
made your wife run around with the flash.
Well, for 2 minutes. Believe me, she didn't hold it for very long. I was experimenting with the new lens, so she kind of humored me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day came early.
Yeah. Valentine's Day is every day for me.
Wow.
Yeah. I hope my wife's going to listen to that someday.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so moody. So what does moody mean? I got to admit, I'm going to put you on the spot here. I didn't really know. I mean, I don't know either.
I don't really know either. It was what that I captured in that picture that I took of my brother-in-law. That's to me what it was. But and again, it's sort of a little bit dark and I don't know. It kind of, to me, it leaves kind of a bit of an uneasy feeling.
We had an entry from a listener.
Yeah.
And it was similar kind of style. It was just, because moody could be, you could be in a good mood.
Yes, absolutely.
But I guess moody to most people kind of means that sort of, I don't know. To me, dark. It just means dark.
It's sort of dark or yeah. Desolate or sort of some sort of feeling of uncertainty. I don't know. That's in my mind how I envision it.
What would Mulder do?
I don't know.
It's the whole X-Files. That's kind of what I had in my mind.
I got the reference. You don't have to dumb it down.
Okay, well, let's talk about the pictures, and we'll start with mine then.
Who is this?
This one is Moody Blue, in fact. I didn't even think of that until just now.
Wow.
Who is that?
Yeah.
It's just a friend of ours here in Germany.
It looks like he's wearing lipstick.
No, he's not wearing lipstick.
Okay.
That's your takeaway?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Let's move on.
It reminds me of, I guess it's the shirt, the turtleneck. It reminds me of that Saturday Night Live Dieter skit, doesn't it?
Well, it is white. he was dressed in all black.
That's totally Dieter.
Yeah. Well, that's actually his name.
Is it really? No.
It's actually Dieter. It's Dieter.
His name is Mike Myers.
His name is Chris.
Where did you run into Mike Myers?
What? Yeah, no, this one was the sun pretty low, obviously, in the wintertime.
Okay.
And so I noticed the sun coming in sort of later in the afternoon, kind of shooting in. And I knew that if I exposed for the white background, that his face would be all moody.
Okay.
To put it that way. And I had him stand sort of in the shadow that was being created by the window.
Yeah.
That's the shadow on his left arm.
Okay.
And I purposely set the color balance, color temperature to be incandescent, so 3200, so that it would come out blue.
Very blue.
I just wanted it to be blue.
Okay, you succeeded. It's very blue.
Yeah. And moody.
Moody. And I like the plant placement that you get on the wall in the back. That's a cookie, right?
Well, yeah, hey, don't spoiler alert.
But that's what they're called, right?
Yep, that's one of the names for it. And that's I didn't touch anything. That's actually just how we had it all set up, and I just noticed it and thought, well, that's going to be a moody shadow.
Okay.
Adam will appreciate the moodiness of the
shadow. I would
appreciate
it more if you used an actual cookie as the cookie.
Yeah.
The big bite out of it.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So
well,
there
I
you
like,
go.
Very moody. I like it.
I would have liked to have seen his right eye.
Yeah, I have no problem with not seeing the eye, but I can understand your want to see an eye.
No, he was in an accident a while ago and he lost his right eye. I just meant like it would be nice if my friend still had his
eye.
That's
just wrong. That's just wrong.
Yeah. No, he has his eye.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on then.
Moving on to my picture.
Explain your moody picture here.
I wanted to, again, I was thinking that I was going to create something in the way of a very uncomfortable sort of situation or feeling for my picture. So I wanted to have, this was also taken in the hockey rink.
So you wanted to have Santa Claus looking into that Pulp Fiction briefcase?
Yeah, pretty much. But I basically took this in the hockey arena in a very similar way that I had taken the picture of my brother-in-law. So my wife is standing with holding a flash that I'm triggering, and basically just you can see the light is on one side of my that's my father's face. That's not Santa Claus. That's my father and my daughter's face, just catching mostly their face and a bit of the front of their clothes, so you could make out who they are. Mm-hmm. And I made the crop such because I kind of wanted to take away the fact that this was in a hockey arena. After I took it, I liked the look of them, but I wanted a little bit of mystery as to what they were looking at. So I had the blue background, which is in the case of hockey arenas, a lot of them are painted blue. So I got the blue and then I fired them close to the wall so I'd get the shadow cast on the wall.
And the highlight in between looks
yeah, and
looks
the highlight
nice.
In between, and I kind of I looked at it and it made me think of like again two people like marching off to something maybe something terrible is happening that they're looking at, or maybe there's something extraordinarily interesting they're looking at. I don't know. That's the whole mystery.
Nice.
Yeah. So there's moody for you.
That, I think it looks great. I think the one mystery for me is how come your dad has such cool shoes.
I don't know. Can you tell what his shoes are?
No, but they look like some sort of fancy young person's shoes.
Yeah, I didn't really even notice, to be honest. So I'll have to look at them in another photo where I can get a better look at them.
Looking good.
Okay, I'll let him know you think so.
Does he have his pants hanging down below his ass too, like the kids do?
Yeah, he loves that look.
Wears his hat a little bit sideways.
Yes, he does.
Oh, Santa.
Yeah. He's a very hip, modern Santa.
Yep. Him and Dreyfus.
Yeah.
No, I think it looks good. I think that's, I think you achieved moody.
All right. Well, let's move on to this episode. The true topic of this episode is?
This week's topic is bounce. How to bounce light.
Okay.
What is bounce? What are we even talking about?
Isn't the term pretty self-explanatory? You're bouncing the light with some sort of device. So we talked about bounce flash before, where we used walls or ceilings
right.
to bounce the flash off something. So I'm guessing you mean natural occurring light, where you're using some sort of object or device, maybe a piece of aluminum foil, to direct the light from, let's say, the sun towards your subject?
Anything that's going to reflect. We're going to reflect existing light. That's what we're doing.
Towards our subject, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or
I
up,
guess
up to you.
Somewhere else.
I can't believe we haven't talked about this earlier, because this is even more basic than taking flash pictures. And
well,
it's
we're doing
where
it
I'm
now.
Sure.
Don't reprimand yourself. We're doing it now.
Yeah, this technically should be episode like 19.
Okay, well, we can just place it there.
Yeah.
19B.
That might mess up the numbering.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what bounce is. Bounce is you're essentially reflecting light to fill in the blanks.
Okay.
So, okay, wait a second. That was the next question. Why do you bounce?
To fill in the blanks.
To fill in the blanks. Just answered it. That echoes back.
Yeah.
Most times it's yeah, that's what you're trying to do is most times it's fill light. You know,
like I don't do this much, so I'm gonna come out and say it right now. I don't do this almost ever.
I don't do it as much anymore. It used to come in. It's a really really handy thing for video shooting. Like if you're out in the you know street doing interviews or something like that, whatever it is that you're doing, this comes in extremely handy because you're gonna run around and you know you can't bring lights with you,
right?
Although you can now because LED lighting is. Runs on batteries, but it's a really simple way to light your subject to sort of even out exposure.
Okay.
So most times that's where it starts, and it's really easy with photos as well. Basically, it's the idea is that it's going to be fill light. It can be a key light sometimes. I've actually seen situations where your bounce light is your key, is your main light, but that's rare. So let's just assume that it's going to be fill.
Okay.
So when do you bounce? When's a good time to be bouncing light?
When you don't have enough?
Yeah, or probably too much. I'm going to say you got too much.
Okay, so you're going to, for example, like if you're shooting into the sun, instead of doing that, you could slightly turn your subject and you could aim the sun's light off of something and then you would... even it out? Is that sort of where you're getting at?
There you go. That's exactly right.
That's not even in the notes. That's right off the top of my head.
That's right. Good congratulations. yeah, so if you're out, like, say you're out in the sunshine and you have too much light coming in, first of all, you can fill in the light under someone's eyes by using a bounce to fill in those shadows.
When the sun's overhead.
Yep. Or anywhere. I mean, it's gonna. You know, that's a great way to control the fill light. If it's a nice cloudy overcast day, you don't really get that too much out of the bounce. You still can.
My question is how many people do you have working for you? Because this, in a practical sense, how do you do this? I can't do this. I don't have three people that are in my entourage.
If you look down the list, you'll see the downsides to bouncing light. That's where we're going to talk about that. But you're right. No, this is the downside. This is because you need to have an assistant.
Right.
And my wife is sick of doing that. So I essentially, you're right, I don't bounce as much as I should. I would love to. Like, it's one of those things that I have, we'll get to what I use to bounce, but I like to always have it on hand. It is extremely handy. Like, the quality of your pictures will ramp up immediately if you start using a bounce board. And that's with no flash or anything else. It's simple to do, and the quality is remarkable.
The quality of my life would ramp up exponentially if I always had an assistant on hand for everything.
Yes. Well, we're looking at an internship with the two hosers.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the first applicant is Sarah.
Yeah. She's unreliable and moody and super moody.
Yeah. As long as she can bounce, we're good.
Okay. I'm going to teach her to bounce.
So how do you bounce? I mean, first of all, did we establish when do you bounce? You can bounce almost always.
Anytime, any place.
Yeah, it comes in handier in certain situations, or it's more noticeable. It's more prominent in like sunny situations.
Right.
But you can bounce. You can bounce in your house. You can, and you'll get good results. So, how do you do it? What do you use to bounce? Well, you said tinfoil, aluminum foil,
something that will reflect. Light.
You want something that can reflect. So
maybe
the cheap way.
A mirror would work?
You could use a mirror. A mirror is really harsh.
Okay.
But essentially, the poor man's bounce, which is what I used for a long time. Like at film school, it comes in, like we used a lot of whiteboard stuff.
Okay.
Like, you know, these signs, like for instance, if there's ever, I don't know if this is illegal or not, so check with the local laws. But when the election's over, when an election is over and the campaign is done, you see a lot of these boards, like the, what do you call it, the Vote For Me boards? Is that the technical term?
Yeah, sure, that's the technical
term. Sure, all the signs.
The re-elect me boards?
The re-elect me boards. On the back, they are usually pretty white.
Okay.
They usually make them out of that foam cork board or foam board or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And the one side will be pretty white. That's a great bounce board.
So don't everybody just go out there and start ripping signs down.
Like I said, check the local laws. I don't know if that's legal or not, but when it's over, generally they got a lot of those kicking around. So if you find them in the recycle bin or wherever you find them,
or on the local teenagers huck them everywhere. So
there you go. So hang on to a couple of those. They make great bounce boards because on the one side, here's how we used to make them. We find white cardboard and then tape aluminum foil to the other side.
Okay.
So you end up getting with a nice white soft bounce on one side, and on the other you have that really hard light, the hard mirror type from the aluminum foil.
Right.
So that's the one way to go. Now I like using that, except for I don't like carrying that around all the time. And nothing screams professional when you're at a pro shoot and you whip out your corkboard with aluminum foil and duct tape on it. Which is too bad because it works great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But, so I purchased one of those light discs, like a reflector disc.
Yep, I've seen them.
Everyone's like a
giant frisbee.
A giant frisbee. And the best part about those is that they fold up.
Yeah.
You do that awesome little twist move that if you don't know how to do it, like if it's yours, you know how to do it. But nobody else does, and so watching people struggle with that is a good time.
Yeah.
Plus, you look awesome when you get it out. It just kind of flips out and pops open. You look sort of like a rock star. Yeah.
I got a mini version of this as a gray card.
Oh yeah,
it's exactly that. It's a little disc that folds up into the little pouch, and then it just pops open like that. But it's only like, I don't know, maybe 15 centimeters large or in diameter.
Is it gray on both sides?
No, it's gray and it's white.
There you go. That's a bounce board on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
A very small one.
A very small one, yeah.
That's the thing, is it doesn't have to be huge. If you're shooting in close and you just want to feel in someone's eyes, I mean, there's been situations, and I give it a try. You could use your hand as a bounce board. You can bring your hand in close and reflect light into the subject.
Right.
You can use a white piece of paper. You can use anything that's going to bounce light at all. You can use. So it can be huge if you want to bounce a lot of light. It can be huge, but it doesn't need to be. It can be really small if you just want to bring it in close. So, but I did buy one of those reflector discs, and that's what I end up using. I don't know how large mine is. It's fairly large, but it folds up nice. And I made the, I'll say, mistake of buying the 5-in-1 light disc.
Right. You talked about this previously.
Did I?
Yeah, a ways back. So why don't you just refresh my memory?
I'll refresh your memory with, it sounds great on paper, the 5-in-1, because you have the white bounce.
Right.
You've got silver bounce, like the tinfoil, or they have a gold-colored bounce, which I use almost never. And it's got one side is all black.
How do you change them?
It zips off. It's so in the middle is the actual disc is a shoot through, like your umbrella sort of.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's your five. It's a diffuser as well. And so basically, if you want to change the reflecting, you have to unzip the cover and then flip it around and zip it back on.
Okay.
Which, when you're messing around out in the field, you don't really have time for that.
Yeah.
So it came down to, do you want to carry three discs or do you want to have to mess around with the zipping? I chose the zipping, and I don't know if I would do that again.
Okay.
I don't like having to mess around with that, and so
For most people, I think, you know, the amateurs anyways, they're probably good with just a disc that's just two-sided, correct?
Yep. I would start out by making my own.
Yeah.
I would really like, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and make an actual reflector disc. And, well, guess what the photo challenge is going to be later on in this episode.
Oh, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it.
Yeah, it's out of the out of the barn.
Am I going to still have to ask you about a photo challenge?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So there's that. So when you're going to bounce, what color do you use? Do you use, because they make a gold, they make a silver. Which do you use, gold or silver?
I don't. So I'm going to say silver.
I tend to use silver more. Gold is nice. Kind of it adds like a warming light.
Yeah, yeah. To your like subject. like a sunset.
Right. Sometimes it's too much. So I tend to, if I have to use silver, I use silver. I like to use the white because it's a nice soft fill. Like the umbrella. But in certain times, when it's really, really like a lot of sunlight coming in, you don't have a choice. The white doesn't provide enough bounce, so you have to use the silver. And your subject tends to sneeze a lot. That's true. I'm not even joking.
It's right in their eyes.
You're blinding them with science. You're blinding them with that light. And it's very difficult to shoot with when you shoot with the silver.
Okay.
So it's kind of an art of sort of how you bend the reflector and how you shape. You can do all that. You can bend the reflector and shape the light that's coming off of it. It's pretty flexible.
Okay.
So there's that. Well, the main situation that I wanted to get at about how to bounce light, what the best, most effective way is, let's say you're outside. And you alluded to this earlier. You said, hey, listen, you know, you're out in the sunshine. You got the sunshine screaming in. Why don't you turn the subject a little bit? Well, why don't you turn the subject so that the sun is backlighting them?
Okay.
So you're going to get this nice rim around them.
Yeah.
And now you need some light to fill in their face because that's going to be, you know, a silhouette now.
Right.
So basically, you're going to then use the bounce as to fill in their face.
Okay, yeah.
But the key is, like you said, position them so that they're being backlit by the sun, if you can. If they're being front lit, there's not much point in bouncing more light in there, is there?
Right, right. No, I gotcha.
So now you can experiment. You can hold the bounce low, like underneath their face, so it kind of bounces up.
Yeah.
It fills in the eyes that way. You can come on either side. There's a lot of options there that you're really just going to have to mess around with on your own.
I can't wait to try this.
If I'm you, I would try it. Just put the camera down. Just go walk around and be your own bounce guy with no camera and just kind of look at the different situations of where light can be bounced and, you know, what kind of effect it has.
Okay.
That's what they teach you in film school, is you go around and look at light before you even touch the camera.
See, I'm so used to now using the flashes to do this. So, you know, mm-hmm. I'm basically, you know, it's requiring me much more setup time because I have to plan it out, and then I have to say, okay, one flash is going to go over here, one flash is going to go over here, sun's going to come in from over here, and this mm-hmm. seems like a much quicker option, provided I have another set of hands.
Provided that's always the downside, though. But is bouncing better than flash? Are the results better?
I don't know.
Sometimes you can't say either way. I still shoot with flash an awful lot, but I do love to bounce for movement, sheer speed when you're moving around.
Right.
And also it's a what you see is what you get. I don't like to say WYSIWYG. Okay.
Okay.
You know what that means?
No.
It means what you see is what you get.
Okay. Okay.
And so you look at the scene and you meter off it. It's because it's continuous light, you don't have to guess what that flash is going to do. You can see the light happening.
Right.
So that's also upside. So can you use a bounce board when you're shooting with flash?
Well, why not? Absolutely.
It happens all the time. It's a great way to add essentially a second light. So to be, you know, let's say you're going to light with the flash from the left-hand side, you could yeah. have on the subject's right-hand side, you could have that bounce, filling them in.
I have done that.
Okay, well, see, you do bounce.
That's my only real use that I've had for the bounce board, is doing exactly that.
Okay. There's times when I've actually used a building for a bounce light.
Oh, really? You need a pretty shiny building?
You don't need that shiny of a building. You need something of a lightish color,
right?
and you position your subject so that the sunlight coming in one direction, if they're close enough to that wall, it's going to light up their face.
Okay.
So check that out. It's there's no end to what you can use. So the downsides to bouncing.
We hit on one. Yeah.
Covered that. You got to have somebody who really wants to help you out.
So maybe someone who likes you. Think about people who like you.
Yeah, but they'll not like you pretty quickly. So, and oftentimes it's actually, you want to find someone. Well, like if you and I are to go out shooting one day, I would happily bounce for you. I don't mind.
Really?
Well, because you're going to end up bouncing for me. It's kind of a back scratcher situation.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
But usually it's hard to find people because they all want to shoot themselves.
Right.
Well, they don't want to. You get the idea.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to carry your luggage.
Exactly. So they want to be out shooting it as well. But so that's the main downside. That's really why I don't bounce as much as I should. So
okay,
I'm gonna go talk with my wife.
Me too.
Yeah. So that's it. Next week's challenge.
Bounce it.
Bounce. No, I wanted to say it.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Next week. Nah, it's good. It's out there. Next week's challenge, bounce light. So go out, that's what you're going to do. I didn't specify that it had to be ambient light bounce. I'm doing it now. Yes. There'll be no flash involved at all.
Okay.
This is just bounce board.
I'm ready.
Are you going, you're going to make a bounce board?
Well, I already have a couple. I have two that I previously made, aluminum foil ones, and then I also have the new gray card that has the one white side that I can use as well.
Well, I can't wait to find out what you're going to do.
Yeah, maybe I'll use all of them.
Yeah, that's possible. So, okay, well, that's it. Bounce light next week. Until then, when can people find you?
When?
Man, I'm going back to bed.
They can find me right now if they go on their computer and go to schwartzchronicles.com.
There you are.
I think, eventually, my wife's been talking about this, and I think I'm going to do it. I'm just going to start my own blog site, so eventually I'm going to have something different where all I'm going to do is just post pictures, nothing else, just post pictures. I'm not going to write anything. I'm just going to post pictures.
What's the deadline on that? When are you going to make that happen?
I don't know. Probably sometime in the next 8 years.
Yeah.
That's how I roll.
Great. Now I look forward. I want you to post your pictures up there.
I will
do it.
I'm going to ask
Chronicles,
you now.
That's gone.
What's that? Huh?
Schwartz Chronicles. That name is gone.
Yes.
What are you going to name? What do you name your blog?
I don't know.
The Schwartz Times.
I'm going to directly compete with the Schwartz Chronicles.
The Schwartz Post Intelligencer.
Schwartz Chronicles. Duh.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great.
What about yourself?
My stuff, as always, at alanatridge.com. You can find all that you need to know about the Two Hosers at twohosers.com. You can find our Twitter, our Google+, our Flickr, blog, car keys, rabbits. I'm just naming things now.
Yeah. Desk.
Desk. I wasn't picking things in front of me.
Close it out. Just finish it off.
Finish it off. Anyway, go to twohosers.com, which means until next week, get out there, make better photos.